This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Response. Then going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and in another portion they're called the sons of thunder, and I'll tell you why later. But Zebedee, and they were in the boat with their father, and they were mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately, not later, but immediately, they left their boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. Now, Jesus did this up to 12 men. He chose 12 men to follow him. Most of them, 7 or 8 of them, were fishermen. We know Matthew was a tax collector and so forth. But he chose 12 men to follow him, and he would train them, teach them, train them in the gospel, not only the gospel of the kingdom that was coming for Israel on the earth, the 1,000 years, but also the future gospel beyond that, the gospel that you and I are participants in now, the gospel of our salvation. And he would teach them that gospel. And they would become, in the future, after his departure from the earth, they would become the foundation of the church. They would become the authority in the church. They would be the ones who laid the foundation. And we know that these men were sinners. These 12 men that he chose, they were sinners. They were not the pillars of the community. They were sinners. And they had a variety of problems in their lives, just like all men do. And they had psychological problems. They had emotional problems. They had behavioral problems. They had all kinds of problems. We know that. There's none that is righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:10, there's all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in 3:23. Isaiah says in chapter 1, the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. They had problems. These men had problems. He didn't choose the best in the community. He chose men. And these men had not known the Lord prior to this calling, and during their life before that, they lived in as men live. Now, Judas was one of them. Judas Iscariot was one of the called of the 12, and he followed Jesus for 3 years. We mentioned him last week. He followed for 3 years. He participated in everything that they did. He saw everything that Jesus did in terms of miracles, and he heard every message that he preached, but he was never saved. 3 years he followed him, and perhaps even enthusiastically followed him, but was never saved. He was a religious guy, but he was not saved. How do we know he wasn't saved? Jesus told us at the Last Supper, John 13:11, said that Jesus knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said to his disciples, "You are not all clean." He knew that there was one who had never been washed in the blood, one that never received Christ as his Savior, accepted him as a religious leader, as a good teacher, as a nice guy, but never as his Savior. And so he was not saved. And that, of course, came out in the end. Judas was replaced by the apostles. after Christ's ascension, he was replaced by the casting of lots. Acts 1:26. The casting of lots was something that was used in the Old Testament to determine the will of God. You can find it in 1 Chronicles 24, 25, and 26, those chapters, where in the temple they would cast lots to determine God's desire. We know that in Joshua chapter 18, Joshua, when he divided the land amongst the 12 tribes, it says he casted lots to determine who would get what. And so there was the casting of the lots, and such methods of determining God's will are very archaic today. We don't cast lots. Anybody cast lots to find out God's will for their lives? Nobody. It's like throwing dice. It comes out of a cup and you throw them, and however the dice lands, that's what is God's will. No, nobody here would ever do that. And back in the Exodus days, they had the Urim and Thummim, two beautiful stones that the high priest wore on his garment. And when he went into the presence of God, he noticed one would sparkle more than the other. One was the positive, one was the negative. One was a yes, one was a no. One was a go, one was a stay. One was okay, one was not okay. And he would look and he would determine what God's will was by looking at these precious stones. How many have those today? You have a couple of precious gems that you look at to determine God's will? Of course not. Well, here's one you might have done in your lifetime. Gideon's fleece. Do you use a cotton ball to determine what God's will is for your life? I've known many Christians that have. Do you use a cotton ball? Do you put it outside? And if it's wet, that means go do something. If it's dry, that means not do it. Do you determine God's will that way? Do you take the chance that a demon's not going to come by and spit on your cotton ball and mess you up? We don't determine God's will that way anymore. We're in the New Testament. We have the Word of God, which is His whole counsel. Right? Acts 20:32. It's the entire counsel of God. He doesn't need to counsel me beyond the Bible. He has everything He wants to say to me in the Bible. I may not have seen it yet, but He's got it there. So the whole counsel is contained in your Bible. You don't need to look anywhere else for God's will. The Spirit leads me, yes, but He leads me in accordance with the Bible, never outside of the Bible. And so with the Holy Spirit's leading, And the Word of God, I get to walk in the wisdom of God. James 3:17 and 18. I get to walk in God's wisdom. And I also have another thing. As I grow as a Christian, I have something called integrity. That means I treat people with honesty. I treat people justly. I don't have respecter of persons. I don't live liking this one and hating that one. I have integrity. And that's Proverbs 11:3 says what? That your integrity will guide you. The guidance of my personal integrity, if you have any. When I was a young Christian, I probably had very little of that. But as you go through the years and you grow as a believer, you gain integrity. That's something God does in you. And you also grow in wisdom. And then you have your book, your Bible. And then you have the Spirit's leading. And you don't go back to Gideon's fleece, his cotton ball. You don't go back to the Urim and Thummim. You don't roll the dice and see what happens to determine the will of God. This is, by the way, just a side note to our message this morning. But just to make somebody mad, anyways, if you've got a cotton ball in your pocket. Don't laugh, Bertha. I know you got one. So let's get back to these 12 guys. These 12 guys are sinners. I grew up along the coastline of Massachusetts, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, loaded with fishermen. Big, big fishing industry all up through there. I've known many fishermen. I lived in rooming houses when I was younger, $20 a week, a rooming house. And the place was loaded with fishermen. They'd be up and gone at 3 in the morning to get to their boats. They'd come off their boats 12, 1, 2 in the afternoon, and they head for the bar room. And they come back at 8, 9 o'clock at night, and they're sauced. And they get up at 3 in the morning again and go out and do it again. They're functional alcoholics. And they're out there. They work hard. Fishing is a hard task. And there are lobstermen up there, are lots of lobstermen. And a lobster, I said, I'm not from Boston. If I was, I'd say lobster. But it's lobstermen. And I've known many of them. They're a rowdy bunch. They're not the pillars of the community. They're not noted for their morality, and they're not known for their integrity at all. They're a rowdy bunch of people. Jesus chose them. And I have no doubt that these guys were the same way. The sons of thunder were because they were loud when they got sauced. That's why they were the sons of thunder. They were boisterous. Once they got a few drinks of wine in them, that was it. Peter had a temper problem. We know that from the book. But mostly, we don't know anything else about the apostles or the disciples, about their background, what they're into, what they did, what their problems were, what their hang-ups were, what their emotional things were, what their psychological psychosis was. We don't know anything about them. And we're not, and God didn't intend us to know anything about them. We just know they were men. And they were from a particular caste of society where the men grow up pretty rough. They don't, their language is not eloquent. It's filled with cuss words. And that's the kind of people that the Lord Jesus Christ chose to become the foundation of the church. How will Jesus deal with these issues that they have? And these guys have a lot of issues. They have a lot of sins in their life, and they got a lot of issues. They're coming into Christianity with a lot of baggage. I know some of you think you came in with just a carry-on. It's not true. You had a lot of baggage when you started out. All kinds of things. All the bad decisions in your life, all the scars, all the wounds, everything people did to you, everything you did to people, all of the guilt that you could pile up into your conscience, you came with baggage. I came with baggage. All of us do. We're all lost sinners. These guys were no different. But they were going to become apostles, sent ones, to bring the gospel into all the world and to lay the foundation of the church. And let me take another sidecar here. Let me go a little, just get off track here just a little bit. When you build a house, you get an architect who draws the plans. You get a general contractor who takes over the project. And from that point on, the general contractor then brings in various crews to do various jobs in the house building. He'll bring in the foundation crew, and they will lay a foundation. In Florida, it's just a slab of cement. You go up north, and they have basements. So it's a different thing. They build forms, and they pour the cement. But once the foundation is laid, the cement crew is.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey